Sir, I try to match you. Your color.
What's that?
Oh, I yeah. try to match your color. That's oh, the, yeah. all, well, hey, the best great. That I can do.
It's the wrong color, brother.
Come on. All right. Howdy, y'all. That's Chinese greeting, okay? Well, from a Chinese, right? From a Chinese, it's Chinese greeting, okay? So, well, before I preach, I want to did a little testimony and tell you, you know, the story about where we are and, you know, how it came about. And, well, I was saved in the age of 16. Well, thank you, Texas, because my missionary pastor is from Texas, from Amarillo, Texas. So, yeah, that's all I can learn. Howdy, y'all, you know, that's all for years, you know. anyway, so I got saved at year 16, and then I was called to preach in, I was 17. I was born and raised in Hong Kong my entire life, and I had my Bible training in Hong Kong and both Hong Kong and the States. About 20 years ago, I started a church with other couple pastors' family while I was a police officer in Hong Kong. And during those years, God gave me opportunities to go into mainland China to preach in some underground churches and travel in different places. And we also helped run like summer camp for the youth, both in China and Hong Kong. Well, that kind of, you know, let me give you some background about Hong Kong. You probably know, right? Do you know Hong Kong? You guys have missionaries to Hong Kong, right? So just a little background, okay? Because we were under British ruling. We were British colony for 100 years. 1997, the British government turned it back to China, gave it back to China. But they also had a treaty signed that the 50 years, they would not change the system because we in Hong Kong, we still have like a common law system, pretty much like here. And it's different from mainland China, the communist, you know, the law system. And the whole system is different. We drive on the right side, and you guys drive on the wrong side. So be careful, okay? Especially in San Antonio. So... Wow. Okay. So anyway. So, but things has changed. You know, especially the last few years, they really changed things and rapidly changed. After 18 years helping at a church, that 2021, I was able to came back for furlough and also further study in Jacksonville, Florida. So I try to match up, you know, Florida thing, right? So anyway, and I try to finish my degree. I didn't try. I finished my degree. So anyway, so but there were like two classes I have to take, and I feel like I was overqualified. Okay, guess what it is? Number one is marriage class. So I've been married that time at 23 years. So beside the professor, I'm the oldest guy in the room. So. With all the teenagers, so I'm glad I passed the class. So, so, and the second class is mission. So I thought, man, I was in the mission field for 18 years, you know. But anyway, the Lord knows, you know, I can still learn something. That really actually helped me and changed the course because at that time we were thinking the next ministry to go back to or to do. But then it's like pandemic, you know, everything is like shut down in China and Hong Kong. And then he had us to do a project, a 28 days project. Every day we have to found a people group to pray for. Now, listen to this. It's not country, it's people group. So while I'm doing that, I was like, wow, so many different people groups not living in their country. They're living in other countries. And one day I found out like how many Chinese people in Paris. So So anyway, that got me thinking, okay, so maybe I should look into like serving the people group, my people group, you know, because I speak Cantonese and Mandarin. Then I start looking, and then I'm in North America. So I looked, and I found out that in Canada, actually, they have 1.8 million Chinese people up there. You thought Canada has no people, right? But Chinese people are everywhere. Depends how many, okay? So, just off the topic, you know, lately I found out so many Chinese restaurants here, and all the cooks are Mexican. No. So you think you eat Chinese food, right? You actually like Mexican food. So when I look into that, so we took a trip up to Canada last May. Me and my wife, we first went to Vancouver, and believe me, I mean, when you go to Vancouver, you don't need English to live. So many Chinese people. I thought I was in China. But then we start to go to another smaller city, about 200,000 people. There's like several thousand Chinese people living there, and there's also a university for like a couple thousand Chinese students there. So the Lord led us there, and I feel like this is a good place because I heard there's need there. There's another Chinese pastor there, but he just like retired today as we speak, and he speaks Cantonese. So we moved up there November, and it's a small town, so people notice that I'm there. So there's some Christian call me up. They're from mainland China. They call me up. I don't know how they found me, but they found me. Okay, so believe the Communist Party. They can't find you. Okay. So they found me and they talked to me. They say we really need, you know, because they're first generation immigrant there, so they really need something in their mother tongue, which is not my mother tongue, but I speak, it's my third language maybe. But anyway, so you know, when you it's almost like when you go to a town that there's no other Chinese restaurant but Panda Express, you take it, you know. So I am the Panda Express. But anyway, thanks God, they still stick around. See, Panda Express still expanding, right? So the picture you saw was our ministry for the last 10 months or so. In November, I get there. In December, we started a Bible study at my home. And at the meantime, I talked to another church, the English church that we have been going, and talked to them about using the facilities for us to meet. So in February, we started our first service. We run about 30 people. And just yesterday, I call home, and it's like, how many people come? And my wife's like, oh, more than usual. I say, well, because I'm not there. So I might have just stayed here better for the church planting. So the reason we do that at that church, the facilities is really good because we have meet in on the side in the chapel, seat about 50 to 60 people, because that also they have a German congregation. So 9 o'clock they will use it for German. The main service is 11 o'clock. So I asked them if we can use it at the same time. So our children could go to their English Sunday school. So, right? I don't have to do anything. But anyway, because the kids gotta speak, you know, English anyway. So that works well for us. And also sometimes we will have some family, they have like mixed marriage. The husband will go to the English one and the wife will come to the Chinese one. So, so, uh, So to say, I mean, I thought we will go there, live a few months, and learn the city and come back to raise more support. But things move faster than I thought they would be. So besides pastoring the congregation now, and I also work at a group home with couple person that they have slightly mental issues, so we just help them. So don't feel sorry for me, okay? Because most of the time my job is sitting down there with them watching Netflix, okay? So, hey, I'm just helping them. So, yeah, that's about our story. Now we run also a book reading club for a college student. We have about 20 of them. So we meet on Saturday evening. The reason they come is not because they like the book, because they like my cooking. So this is very important for them because they're away from home and they don't even have Panda Express there. So so I get some business. So anyway, we enjoy them and you know we can share, and people wish to share their, you know, their burden and their life in their mother tongue. So that's how our ministry is. So you saw the pictures a while ago. That's in Canada, it's not in China. Okay. So but one thing is, like, always we do is, like, you know, we will have like potlucks or picnics and stuff. The food will bring the people. That's how we get connected in the city. So I have until 10 o'clock, right? I'm from the West Coast, okay? So may I give them like a couple minutes to ask questions?
You may.
Okay, yes, sir. So any questions for me? Yes, ma'am.
I'm from Michigan. How are you handling the weather?
Michigan?
I'm from Michigan.
I feel sorry for you, so. China? Oh, Hong Kong, we have winter, but it's like Florida. We're on the same equation. But you know what? Let me tell you this. I mean, I found out that they have heat in Canada, so it's good. So actually it's not that bad as I thought, because it's dry. And where we are, it's a big lake, so it's kind of gloomy in winter time, but it's kind of shielded off. So there's no wind. So yeah, I survived one winter. So thank God. So yeah, I mean it's not too bad where we are. Other places I cannot say. So any more? Yes, sir.
I'm just curious, what tends to draw people from Hong Kong or from China to Canada?
What draws? Okay. Now, because Canada, that's one of the reasons I didn't stay in the States. Because the state, it's not as immigration friendly, because Canada, they keep wanting to draw people. Like last year alone, besides Chinese people, they have like a million people move to Canada from all over the world, because they need people, because it's cold. So they always have that. That's one of the reasons that I kind of go there instead of, like, you know, looking community here, because here I don't have all the facts, but the way I see it, it's the Chinese community, it's shrunken and aging, because not like Canada, they keep having people to move there. You know, number two is college. Like a lot of Hong Kong students, they go to college there. For many reasons. I mean, they always go to Canada for study. And also because last few years, Hong Kong had some issues, some persecution from mainland China. So, and Canada opened up some pathway for people to go to move there and study there, and then you ultimately get a residency. So that's why more people are moving there. Besides Canada, actually, it's about 200 1,000 people moved to UK last couple of years because of that. Because we're a British colony, so now they want to take them, give them a pathway to escape. Yes, sir. What is the hardest place?
Hardest place to minister to.
Well, let me tell you this. I'm Chinese, you know, as you can see, right? So, but China is so big, and Hong Kong, we had more like Western influence, and because of China, they're under Communist Party for so long and atheism, so it's not my word, it's my members' word, my people's word. They say it's very difficult. Even they get saved, they still have all these old thinking or habits. So it's kind of have to like settle them, you know, between people and stuff like that. But thankfully, because Mandarin is not my mother tongue, I will always say, "Huh? What do you say?" So just pretend I don't understand. So anyway, any more? Yes, ma'am. I don't know, might be. The reason I wasn't being arrested because they don't understand Chinese, so I'm preaching in Chinese, so that's a plus.
So. What is the political climate toward Christianity in Canada?
I think it really depends on the city. Our city, it's more traditional, more churches around. I look up the statistic, about 60% they claim to be Christian at that area. But in some bigger city, I think they're more liberal, especially to the east side. One more, I'll take one more. Yes, sir.
How are they drawn to the concept of grace?
Concept of grace? What, you mean the Chinese people? Or?
Yeah, the people that you minister to.
Okay, so I think because many of my congregation, most of them were saved, but like we're building up some new contacts and share with them. I think they're pretty open because a lot of them, they never heard that in China. So even some of them came to Canada in an older age, they're very acceptance to that. So, all right. Now, you can open your Bible to Acts chapter 4, verse 3 to 37. Well, while you're doing that, I want to say something. You know, in 2019, you know what happened?
COVID,
yeah. So, we had that. Before COVID, we had SARS in 2003, right? 2003. So in 2019, at the end of the year, you know, I heard something like that, and I talked to my friend in the States. I say, you know, I heard that something, there's a kind of virus, you know, breaking out in China. So, you guys should watch out. And then I was like, you know, I take it back. You guys are so far away, you know, that you will not catch it, you know. So, but anyway, hey, we share everything, you know. So because it's made in China, you take it, right? You take it. Well, last night, let me tell you this. Last night at church, they tried to play my video and couldn't play it. So we got stuck there for a few minutes. I have to stand up and apologize because I say that thing is made in China. And I start calling our friends and say, "Can you get me some mask?" You know, and they try, and just one person might get like 20. They send me, but you know what? I told them, I say, "Friend, I love you. I know you love me, but keep some for yourself." But you know, they're American. They don't listen. They don't listen, right? They just send me all the mask, and then a couple months later, you guess what? You guys need mask. So, and then. I mean, this is another story too, but you know, eventually who sent us the mask? It's not people from the West. And eventually there's a missionary saw my Facebook asking for that, and they're in Peru. They're in Peru. So they say, we have some mask. So I say, same thing. I say, keep some for yourself. They're Peruan. People don't listen too. So they send me all the mask. And a couple months later, guess what? They need mask. The price jack up. So, and also it's so, I mean, but let me tell you this. That was the first mission project that church did. Buy us the mask, sent to us. It was the biggest, you know, offering they took you to do that. You know, we thought we could help them, but you know, we're so humbling. You know, in Peru, they start sending us the mask. But when I get the mask, you guess what? Say, made in China. So the mask go around the world, you know? Had a cruise, you know? So now, you know, for many years, you read different missionaries' letters. We have different obstacles, different difficulties, right? But during the COVID time, everybody had the same pain. You know, you read the letter, they people cannot meet, you know, stay home, people die and sick. Like, we share the same pain together, right? It's, I mean, like before, everybody had different problems. But those years, we have same problems. We feel each other, right? So, so many people die, and in Hong Kong and China, we have a border, but so many people like live on this side and go to work on the other side, you know, like Mexico and Texas, right? So people live here, they go work there, but all of a sudden one day, they can't. People lose their job, or they cannot see their families for a couple years. So everything's changed, and I mean, nowadays, when you think about this, things can change rapidly. Yep. We're in a different world. Yep. We're in a different world. Things could change rapidly. So, you know, sometimes we have to rethink our life. Rethink how we do our ministry. You know, what is the most important thing? You know, so in Hong Kong, like every week, that time, every week they get new mandates and, you know, you can only meet with certain people and how many people, where, you know. So every week we have to wait until the news come out and then we plan our Sunday. So, but you know what? I told the people before I left, I was like, you know, might be God is preparing us a new way to meet. I don't know. You know, you have to be prepared. Things happen. It's not the same all the time. So after I left for a couple months, you know what happened? We used to use the YMCA building. We had a very good relationship with them. We partnership with them because that saved a lot of money. Hong Kong is pretty expensive, okay? Just give you some idea, like a general apartment up in the sky. I mean, you don't even get land. It's like, it's about 2,000 US per square foot, okay? Our average family is living in a 500 square foot apartment, okay? So you know how hard when those people get locked up in COVID, okay? So now, and then the YMCA all of a sudden came down, talked to the church, say, all the churches like, you cannot use our facilities because the government give us pressure. I mean, things could change overnight. We had 100 years freedom, you know, religious freedom, probably more than here because we can preach the gospel in a public school, you know. But we probably sometimes we take it for granted. Yep. Things change overnight. So sometimes in a different air, in a, you know, different stage, we have to rethink. We have to rethink the way that we live, the way that we do ministry, the way we do ministry. Now, That's why sometimes you hear people say, good old days, right? Good old days is past. That's why there were good old days, right? That's why we have to look forward. Now, in Acts chapter 4, in Acts chapter 4, in these verses, you see it's a very nice picture because everybody share everything, you know, everybody, you know, sell their thing and share everything. Now, but let me tell this. Before this wonderful picture, what happened? It's a chaos. It's a chaos. Why? Because some people came to Jerusalem for worship, right? They thought, I'm going to have money to spend a week there. Maybe 2 weeks. Well, at the most, maybe a month. But now, these people get saved, and they stick around. Right? Several thousand people. Now, Pastor, I think you would like that, right? Next week. But you have to take care of the room and board. Well, think about this. It's a good problem, but it's a problem, right? The church was fresh, I mean, like a couple months old, but now they have to take care of all these people. How? I mean, everybody wish like next week you get 3,000 more converts, right? But what are we going to do with them? Now, see here, there's a character I want to share with you tonight. It's Barnabas. It's Barnabas. Now, when I grow up, that sometimes the preacher would preach about him like a sigh, you know, just, you know, on a sigh, okay? And always paint the picture that he is a very soft, kind person, right? But I have other the way to look at him. Now, well, look at verse 36. And Jose, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, the son of comfort. Now, so we thought, like, oh, he is the son of comfort. He always, like, just speak good words to people, to encourage people, right? I have another view about him. Now, because I don't think he is a guy just saying some good words to help people to move on. No, he is a pretty strong guy. Now, because at that time in Acts chapter 4, the Bible did not say he said anything to encourage anybody, okay? But in chapter 4, it recorded he did something. He did something with action. What was that? He sold his property, everything, and you know, come here, give it to the church, and use it, you know. Now, at the end of this chapter, I mean, it says that, you know, like before this, it was like many people, but I think he is the first person. The reason I believe that is because he's the first good example, and then you go to chapter 5, there's another bad example, okay? So I think he was the first person that willing to step up and create a new movement. When nobody, I have to fit the title, answered the call, he answered the call. Right? When nobody thought what to do with these thousands of people, he said, hey, sell my stuff. Here we go. Now, so I think he is that kind of person, you know. Now, let's look at chapter 9. Let's look at chapter 9, verse 17. Now, before that, Saul gets saved, right? Saul gets saved. And then God talked to Ananias and say, you know, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you. Now, Ananias went to Saul, Paul, right? Why he went there? Yeah, God told him to. Well, let me teach you how to say Saul in Cantonese. You want to learn? Two sound, okay? Ko. Ko, the first word, ko. The second, ve. Say it together. Yeah. Saul was sounds like COVID to people at that time, you know? When people hear COVID, I mean, they want to run. Lord, why would you ask me to see COVID? Right? But But he went because the Lord told him to, you know, answer the call. But nobody wanted to see him. Okay, but go to verse 26, chapter 9, verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. Okay? Okay. Now, the next English word is what?
Barnabas.
No, not Barnabas. But. But. What does it mean? You know English? It means the whole city, all the Christians, thousands of Christians, no one but Barnabas. What does it mean? I mean the whole town, no one but. He's the only one, right? He's the only one voluntarily to go see COVID. I mean, what kind of person is that? He is not a soft person. He was thinking, you know, if I die, I die. He need a friend. He need a friend. And then what? He brought him in. And then because of that, you know, later on that Saul what? He had preached boldly. Because of him, he brought him into the circle. People accept him. Brothers and sisters, sometimes you might be the only person have that passion in the whole town. People will say you're from California. You're a nut. Like people say, Paul, you're a nut. Why? No, Barnabas, you're a nut. Why would you want to go see Saul? He killed people, right? Yeah. But when God lay that in your heart, you answer the call. You answer the call. He said, if I die, I die. You know, because I sold everything already, right? So, what's to lose? Now, well, think about this. If Barnabas didn't go see Paul, what would be the story be? What would be the story? I mean, the great missionary, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's going to take him in? But Barnabas. No, now, if I ask you, if we tonight hear a big bang, who will you guys send to go check that out? I don't think it's pastor, right? Really? It's his job? Job description? If we hear a bam, you go. No, anyway, I want to say this, because in your group, no matter what, there's something happen in your mind, immediately you will send somebody. Right? Any law enforcement here? Usually they will send you, right? Because you get paid for that. Not pastor, okay? So because in your mind, there's some people in your mind, you're like, you know, send that person to do that job, right? Now, let's look at chapter 11, verse 22. Now, they hear something about somewhere some people get saved, okay? And then what they do, verse 22, and they send forth who?
Barnabas.
He is not a soft guy. He is not a quiet guy sit at the corner. When people say, we need to get something done, somebody check it out. Hey, Barnabas, you go. Right? Barnabas, you go, because they know that he is that person. He is brave enough to answer any call. Any call. Now, he's not only a person that he will do it by himself. You know, he is a good man. He is Holy Spirit. He has faith. And then the Bible says what? So he went and grabbed somebody else. Verse 25. He go grab something else with him. Saul. Right?
Yeah.
Saul, you got to do something. Right? So he go grab him. And they work together for a whole year. And then what? And then, hey, why are we called Christian? The first place that call believers Christian is in where? In Antioch. He is not just a talker. He lived there for a year to train the people, live with them. His action comfort people. He action comfort people. So that's how he got the name, Son of Comfort. He comfort people by doing things with people. Amen. Doing things with people.
Amen.
Now, because I'm a lazy person, I didn't want to take Greek, okay? So blame me. I already speak Chinese, so what do you want, right? Huh? So, you gotta learn Greek. So, but when I need something interpreted, you know what I do? Hey, I say, professor, I would like to buy you lunch, you know? And then I ask him. You know, actually, the word, the son of consolation, comforter, there's another word in the Bible that's been used to describe the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Holy Spirit, it's not just in our heart to say some comfort word to us, to encourage us. It's with us to do life together, to give us power, to comfort us that way.
Amen.
So, he is not a soft person. He is in action. He's a person in action. That's why people get comfort. You know, let's look at chapter 15, verse 37. Now, they told Mark before, but Mark fell. He went home. Don't know why. Bible didn't say. But then, here it says, and Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Okay? Sometimes maybe we think, like here, he said some good words to Paul, so, you know, he can bring Mark along. Now, husband, when your wife say, I'm determined to buy that handbag or dress, what does it mean?
She's got to buy it.
Be prepared. So he's here, the Bible said he's determined.
Yeah.
He's not trying to sweet talk him, maybe. Could you, please? He's like determined. And then they have a sharp fight, right? They have a sharp fight. I'm not sure about this, but I think pretty much like this, that one day I'll ask him in heaven. And that fight, he'll tell Paul, hey, Paul, I want to bring him. Now remember when you had nobody wanted fellowship with you, I brought you into the circle. You owe me this. Right? Remember to ask him, okay, when we go to heaven. I mean, he's like determined, I will do that.
Yeah.
Now, at that time, nobody knows who's right or who's wrong. Now, I learned something in my mission class. I also learned something in the marriage class. That's why I passed. Now, there's a saying that I learned in that class. Let me find it. Like, okay, what's in present right now, it will become past. But it will reveal in the future. Okay? So their argument at that day passed. But the future reveal that Mark became useful.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because he is a crazy cousin. So the Lord used it. He took action. He determined that I am going to help him to become a useful follower. So what I want to conclude and say today, brothers and sisters, you know, looking in his life, I mean, from the very beginning, he didn't say, Lord, I want to be a missionary, right? The Bible didn't say that. God didn't even, you know, call him that way or, you know, talk to him like the others. But every step of his life, if he see a need, he answered that call. From his selling his property, meeting a friend, brought him and stood beside his cousin. Well, I say rethink our life or ministry, the way we do it. I mean, maybe you don't have to go to the foreign country, but you can answer calls when the Lord calls you. When you see the needs, when the needs would lay in your heart, answer that.
Amen.
Answer that. Well, may the Lord bless us. Let's close our eyes and bow our head. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the word. We see the people came before us, lay down all these testimony. And God, Holy Spirit, may you use these words to speak to our hearts. Speak to every one of us. May us be encouraged. May us all learn how to be a comforter by action. Work alongside with other people to accomplish your will. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.